the Sludge Man, no less, for whatever twisted purpose. That knowledge changed things. Jackal considered goading the Cavaleros with insults. If he forced them to beat on him, if it looked like they might kill him, then Warbler would surely intervene. That wasn't quite the plan, but if Sancho got word to Ignacio about what Jackal now knew, the march to the gallows would be quick. However, the Whoremaster had said nothing to the Cavaleros that came to his rescue. They were noble-born, under Bermudo's command. Sweat dripping from his face, Jackal grinned. Bermudo knew. It must have been the reason he came to the brothel that morning. He was trying to catch Ignacio in the act. Slaves were a way of life in Hisparta, but elves were illegal, lest the alliance with the Pointy Ears unravel. The captains had always resented the other's presence in the lots. Bermudo hated his low-born compatriot, working so closely with the mongrel hoofs. Half-orcs were beneath the notice of a gentleman, after all. Ignacio viewed Bermudo with the inherited contempt all peasants hold for those that lord over them. That, and the man was all but useless in a place such as the lots. Still, he'd managed to root out Ignacio's crime somehow and bit at the chance of being rid of him. Jackal wondered what the blue blood would think if he learned the bastards had possessed living proof of Ignacio's traffic in flesh. If only the haughty captain had come to the brothel a little sooner, he'd have found Starling himself. If only Jackal had not been carousing. Hells with it. Jackal would hold to the plan. Warbler would get in or not. Jackal would leave alive or not. No use yanking the hog to a stop now. The Castile appeared beneath the midday sky. From his inverted position, Jackal did not see the fortress so much as feel its presence. No fewer than 6 great towers lorded over the curtain wall, which crowned a steep, parched hill. The road switchbacked up the western slope toward the Barbican. Jackal craned his neck to eyeball the battlements along the wall and above the gate. A pair of bartizans jutted imposingly from either side of the yawning arch, no doubt filled with archers. This was the last fortification in Ulwandulas, still held by Hisparta. It must have once had a name, but none uttered it any more. Home to a sizable standing garrison, as well as 2 companies of cavaleros, common and noble, the Castile contained the largest armed force in the land. The towers commanded views for miles in every direction, and one of those towers was the residence of the Castile's wizard. Like the stronghold, he had no spoken name, and like the stronghold, his simple presence was a reminder that the crown still retained ample power in the lots. The Castile was larger than the kiln, its tallest tower double the height of the central chimney. The construction of the bastard's home had borrowed the splayed base walls found surrounding this citadel, but the kiln did not come close to matching its imposing bulk. An army of orcs would be hard-pressed to breach these defenses. Countless waves would be broken on the hill, the entire ascent plagued by withering arrow flights. The bodies would be heaped beneath the talus before the battlements could be gained. Since boyhood, the Castile had been an arrogant, brutish fixture in Jackal's life. But never had he felt its slumbering oppression more keenly than he did now. Trust to a mule and entering the shadow of the gateway. Stable boys ran up and took the Cavalero's horses in hand as they dismounted. Orders were barked, and Jackal was hauled roughly off the mule by a pair of guardsmen. He got a brief look at the sizable bailey beyond the barbican before being shoved through a low door set in the base of a square tower. Hells, he had been inside the walls for only a few heartbeats and had already seen at least 20 soldiers. One of his guards lifted a grate in the floor, permitting access to a set of stairs spiraling down into darkness. As he began the descent, a voice in Jackal's head told him this may have been a fool-ass plan. The voice sounded too much like Fetchings. Clenching his jaw and squaring his shoulders, Jackal walked steadily downward. A long, dim corridor met them at the bottom of the stairs, lit by far-spaced torches. The guards must have been warned about him, or else had a healthy fear of half-orcs, for both leveled their halberds, one in front and one behind, before herding him down the passage, the lead man walking backward. The tedious shuffle eventually brought them to a large, evil-smelling chamber with a heavy door in the opposite wall. The guards stopped well short of this, however, and Jackal heard the man behind him open one of 10 iron grates in the floor. "Down!" the lead guard instructed, with a punctuating jab of his halberd. Turning, Jackal looked into the pit. It was a narrow shaft, and double his height in depth. Water stood at the bottom, dully reflecting the meager torchlight. Spitting, Jackal squatted and sat on the edge of the pit. Turning to rest on his elbows, he let his legs dangle and gripped the edge with his manacled hands. He lowered himself down and hung with arms fully extended before letting go, landing with a heavy splash in the water. The unseen stone beneath the pool was slick with scum, but he kept his feet. He made a point not to look up, lest the guards decide to piss on him, a distinct possibility considering the smell of the ankle-deep liquid. Thankfully, he heard the grate slam shut above, and the footsteps of the guards withdrawing, though not far. Jackal could hear their low voices muttering to one another in the chamber, but the sloshing cell swallowed the words. They conversed sporadically, until they were relieved some time later by another pair. These two must not have liked each other much, for they said little. The width of the cell might have permitted Jackal to sit, but the water made even that small comfort a miserable prospect. So he stood, alternating between pacing the cramped, flooded square and leaning against the slimy walls. Time rotted. Jackal was just about to give in and sit when he heard the sound of the door open once more. The footsteps were not the ambling plod of bored soldiers, but the purposeful, resounding stride of one in command. A shadow fell across the square holes of the grate. "I knew leaving men at Sancho's would prove fruitful," came a gloating voice. "Vengeance or lust? One of these was sure to bring you loping back to the brothel. Mongrels are ever driven by base needs." "Glad to help you prove your capability, Bermudo," Jackal called up. "Someone needs to." "The only proof you provide, half-orc, is the witlessness of your kind. Pride without brains, that's what disgusts me most about you ash-coloreds. Though in this instance I should be thankful for it, considering it was your need to avenge yourself on the brothel keep's incompetence that delivered you in chains, where you belong." Jackal bit back a laugh. Bermudo truly believed he had caught him through his own designs. Witlessness and pride were certainly present, just not where the captain claimed. This plan was perfect after all. At least, it would be without the manacles and the locked pit. "It's that childish need for undeserved respect," Bermudo droned on, "which sours my stomach. That's what got the better of you, not me."
"Well, half of that is true," Jackal stated lightly.
The figure beyond the grate was silent for a moment. 8 years. That's how long I've been in Ulwin Dulas. 8 years, every one of them a sweltering crawl. And then, delivered to my command, is a man that offers a chance of returning to civilian life. A chance you took from me." Jackal snorted. "Garcia was likely spewing goose shit. You'd believe anyone with a whispered promise of going home. In earnest, Captain, you should be thanking me. Garcia was lording over you that morning. In your precious Hisparthan social standing hog shit, that hare lip was every bit your superior. Another month,
and he would have been commanding the Blue Bloods.
You're right, Bermudo admitted, but Jackal could hear the smile.
I could not see it at the beginning, but that was a service, killing him, and doubly so now. I have just sent a messenger north with a letter to Garcia's mother. In the pile of noble Hisparthan hog shit, she is a fat fly who buzzes close to the top.
I heard, Jackal said.
From Ignacio, I'm sure. The man's lack of honor is outpaced only by his stupidity.
You were the one outpaced. Missed him at Sancho's.
Because of you soot-skins.
Jackal shook his head, unsure if the man standing over him could even see the gesture. You'll never believe this, but the bastards weren't helping Ignacio. He was gone well before you arrived.
True, Bermudo said, sounding far from pleased. I don't believe it. I had hoped to catch him that unfortunate morning. He has bought off some of my own men, so I took only the fresh arrivals, men that have since gone missing. Care to tell me what happened to them?
Let me out, and I will. I'll also tell you where Ignacio takes those slaves.
I'll get it all from you soon enough. Ignacio will hang beside you. The ruckus you half-breeds caused at the brothel saw my efforts against him stalled. But I am patient.
Garcia was to blame for that ruckus, and you know it.
The man was a wretch, Bermudo agreed. But even wretches have mothers that love them. When she hears I have the half-breed who murdered her son, she will insist that you be brought to her for justice. I will, of course, respectfully refuse, informing her ladyship that you are simply too dangerous to transport. The chance of escape over so many leagues is quite high. I have never met the lady in question, but I soon will, for based upon her reputation, I am confident she will make the journey into the Lotlands, risking their myriad dangers, just so she can witness your eyes pop on the gallows. Such a visit will give me ample time to place myself beneath the grieving Marquesa's good graces, and provide the possibility of leaving this post behind. So yes, thank you for being a murderous cur, Jackal. Know that my gratitude will be even greater the day you swing from a rope.
Jackal hummed appreciatively.
Well, when you find yourself under the woman's good graces, you might see this pink little nub. Lick that. Believe me, it will help win her over.
You really are an animal.
Just trying to remain helpful, Captain. Since you've sucked cock your whole life, I figured you didn't know.
Bermudo expelled a clipped laugh.
I will be sure to come back and seek your advice often. There will be time. The Marquesa won't arrive for a month or more at the soonest. In the meantime, you can reside down there. Try not to waste away, Jackal. We don't want Garcia's slayer to appear too terribly weak and pitiful.
The shadow above turned on its heel.
You know I wasn't even the one who killed him, Jackal said.
Bermudo paused.
Do you think it matters to me? I will claim it was you. Sancho will agree. The lady will believe justice done. The truth, Jackal, is that you are a nomad. I do not even need a reason to hang you. Without your hoof to protect you, you are nothing but a wild dog.
When Bermudo was gone, Jackal stewed in the reek of the cell. The guards changed again, denoting the passage of innumerable hours. Jackal knew he had not been here a full day, not yet. His thirst and hunger would have been greater. Both were very likely to increase before long. It did not appear Bermudo had much interest in keeping him healthy. Knowing he would only get weaker, Jackal attempted to climb the shaft. It was tricky with his bound hands, but the closeness of the walls made it possible for him to find solid leverage with his legs, and he was soon at the top. The guards must have heard him, for no sooner had he pressed his face to the grate
then the haft of a halberd was shoved through, striking him in the neck. He fell back down into the loathsome water, his heels sliding out from under him and planting his ass in the wet. Nothing else for it, Jackal remained slumped there. Ignacio arrived later, his rough, perpetually tired voice giving the guards permission to wait without.
"Don't reckon you're here to free me?" Jackal asked as the captain's form darkened the grating.
The door of the pit swung open. Ignacio squatted at the edge and peered down, a lantern dangling from his hand. His ugly, pitted face was harried.
"You know I can't do that."
The captain's tone was almost regretful.
Almost.
Jackal smiled up at him.
"And here I thought you were a friend to the bastards." "You ain't a bastard anymore, Jack."
"Well, this seems awfully severe a punishment for kicking a whoremonger around, even for a nomad."
"This is about killing Garcia, and you know it."
Jackal forced the snort of contempt down. "For Bermudo, it is. Surely you don't give a shit about that."
"I don't," Ignacio admitted.
"So let me loose. A favor for old times."
"I won't be doing that. And neither will that old thrice."
"Who?" Ignacio laughed at the attempt.
"Hadn't seen Warbler in years. Actually made me smile when he turned up. Tempting to take such a seasoned free rider on. Almost did it. But I learned long ago to be wary of tempting things that make you smile in the lots. So I had the boys turn him away. Imagine my vindication when you arrive not long after. An old free rider suddenly volunteering, and a fresh nomad suddenly a captive, each a former bastard. What are the chances?"
"You almost pulled it off, Jackal. Weren't for my gut. If I had known just how right I was, I would have let Warbler through those gates and tossed him into that pit beside you, instead of letting him ride off peaceful."
"So what was the scheme? Why'd you two want in here?" Jackal needed to keep Ignacio off the scent of his true quarry. "To kill Bermudo," he lied, though it was quickly becoming part of the plan.
"Figured he wasn't going to stop trying to put me in chains, so why not give him what he wants, then cut his throat for him?"
"That could still happen. Can you say you wouldn't benefit with him gone? Let me out."
Ignacio didn't even consider. "No."
"Worried what I might say, Captain? What I might know?"
"What do you know, Jackal?"
It was a simple question, yet there was a cold menace in every word. Ignacio's dispirited face tightened with annoyance when Jackal did not answer.
"I have to assume you know everything," he went on, "which means I don't have the time to squat here all damn night getting stiff in the knees while we bandy words back and forth.
Afraid Bermudo might offer me a pardon once I tell him about you turning his man over to die?"
It was Ignacio's turn to laugh.
"That noble son of a cunt would forego the riches of Sardis to see you hang. Nothing will sway him to spare you. He hates you, Jackal. Me? I don't have any feeling for you one way or another. But before you shit yourself on the gallows, I need to know where that Tyne hussy got to."
"You mean your big mistake?" Jackal sneered. "How did you fumble that, Captain? Elf slaves are dangerous enough without provoking dogfall by nabbing one of their own."
"Her mistake, you mean," Ignacio said. "Fair little quim like that shouldn't wander too far alone. You have to take what comes in the lots, Jack. Figured you knew that."
"What happened to being wary of tempting things?"
"Tempting things and profitable things are different. Besides, she never made me smile. Fought and screamed, all in a frenzy, every damn step.
Jackal was surprised when the image of Starling fighting back, crying out, came easily to his mind. The conjured picture brought pride to his heart, before crushing it with regret.
"And what's the reward for you?" Jackal spat. "The sludge man gets his twisted perversions sated, but you? You get a few fistfuls of slimy gold. Think you can get enough to buy your way out of here before you get caught? You won't now. Sludge man's dead."
Ignacio drug his fingernails beneath his chin for a moment.
"I reckon you don't know everything after all. Now, where's the elf?"
Jackal shrugged. "No reason to tell you. You're not going to let me loose, so you can't offer me anything. And threatening a condemned man is feeble. So the short of it, Captain, is you're as useful as a limp cod."
Ignacio set the lantern down and stood, began unbuckling his belt.
"Well, they have one use."
Jackal turned away. There was a brief silence, and then came the stream of piss. Once the warm liquid ceased spattering his skin, the door to the pit slammed shut. It seemed Jackal would be lucky to make it to the gallows. The entire garrison was peasant stock, and no doubt any one of them would murder him in his cell if Ignacio ordered it, Bermudo be damned. The sands of an hourglass were emptying all around him. His strength would not hold out in this wretched prison. And while he withered, Crafty and the Claymaster would continue to pursue whatever intentions they had for the lots. His survival had seemed far more certain while planning by a campfire.
Chapter 25. The sound of the door groaning open roused Jackal from a fitful doze. He heard the voices of the guards and movement in the chamber above. Jerking upright, Jackal cursed as his numb legs and feet betrayed him, instantly forcing him back on his rump. The splashing drowned out all chance of catching what was being said. As the water settled and Jackal strained his ears, a burst of laughter resounded, followed quickly by the door shutting once more. Silence followed. Jackal waited. The quiet reigned for a long time, until he was convinced that the room above was vacant. Using the walls for support, Jackal stood again and rubbed some life back into his legs. He removed his boots and poured the water out of them before donning them once more, then climbed the shaft. No halberd shaft greeted him this time, and he was able to push his cheekbone against the grate, revolving his eye around one of the holes to see what he could. The chamber appeared empty from his limited perspective, and his ears continued to testify to what his eyes could not completely confirm. He held himself there for as long as possible, but after a span, his muscles began to cramp and quiver. Climbing down before he fell, Jackal stood in the cell and continued to listen, face turned upward. At last, he heard the door open again, though the sound was softer. The play of shadows above implied furtive movement, before the holes in the grate darkened as a figure eclipsed them.
"Jack!"
came a sharp whisper. Jackal's guts jumped.
"Delia?"
The sounds of a bolt sliding back rang stridently down the shaft. The grate slowly lifted and was laid aside soundlessly. The woman's familiar silhouette came into view once more.
"Can you climb up?"
Jackal did not waste time with an answer. Within moments he was hoisting himself over the lip of the pit. Still on his knees, he gawked at Delia. She too was crouched down and looked at him with a quick, nervous smile of relief, but her wide eyes kept flitting to the door.
"Help me put the grate back," she whispered.
Jackal did as she said, and once they had carefully completed the task, Delia slid the bolt back into place, wincing at the noise. They both held their breath for a moment, but when no guards appeared, Delia took Jackal by the hand and led him toward the door. Opening it a crack, she checked the wide, vaulted passage beyond. All was still.
"The Castile sleeps,"
she whispered, closing the door once more and turning to face Jackal.
"But we must hurry. Racia is occupying your guards, but they will want to be back before their relief discovers them gone."
"Racia?" Jackal's brow creased, but then his mind began to settle.
"The one from Anvil. But how did you two get in here?" "Let in through the southern sallyport, same as always,"
Delia answered.
"Horrors never need to lay siege, Jackal. Let's get you out of those manacles." "Did you steal the key?"
Delia shook her head and began gathering her skirts up behind her legs.
"Too chancy."
Her mouth wrinkling with momentary discomfort, Delia's hand came back around, producing a thin, finger-long stick of wax. Letting her skirts fall, she moved quickly to one of the torches and held the sliver over the heat of the flames. The wax melted quickly, leaving behind a pair of lock picks. Jackal expelled an amused breath. "Impressive. Though, couldn't you have just hidden those in the folds of your clothes?"
"Wasn't sure I would still be wearing clothes when I got in here,"
Delia replied, with a purposefully exasperated sigh.
"Besides, it's far from the most uncomfortable thing I've had up my arse."
"There I am a culprit," Jackal replied, while she began on the first lock. "Though you may find some justice knowing I will now go everywhere similarly equipped."
"That might make riding a touch difficult,"
Delia replied, opening the first lock with a practiced hand. "True," Jackal conceded. Delia was having some difficulty with the second cuff. Jackal looked as the slight care lines in her face deepened with growing concentration.
"Why did you risk this, Delia?"
She glanced up at him, briefly distracted by the gratitude in his voice.
"I saw you being hauled out," she replied, going back to her task. "Racia told me what happened. She needn't have bothered. Sancho was right behind her."
"That bloated fuck is dead," Jackal swore.
"Yes," Delia said, as the second cuff opened. "He is."
The look on her face said it all.
"You killed him?"
Delia raised one freckled shoulder slightly.
"Came at me with a scourge, so I opened his windpipe. All these years, he should have known I keep a knife close at hand."
"When was this?"
"Just after you were taken. Dust from the Cavalero's horses hadn't settled when Sancho choked on his own blood."
"Hell's woman," Jackal said. "They will hang you next to me."
"I'm not getting caught," she told him, "and neither are you if you go now."
"I will," Jackal lied. It would do no good to confess why he had truly come here, especially now that she had burned her life down to aid him. He almost told her to go to Winsome, to have Beryl put her to work, but the notion perished in his head. Every soldier knew who she was, knew that he favored her. When word reached Bermudo of Sancho's death, she would not be safe. "I'll find you," he said, "when this is all over." Delia gave him a dubious squint.
"If you could do that, I've failed at hiding. Come, I will lead you to the sallyport."
"No," he said, taking the lockpicks from her. "You go. If you're seen with me, they'll know." Delia nodded reluctantly and went to the door. There she paused.
"I need to tell you something,"
she said, without turning. Jackal waited. When she faced him, he was taken aback to see fear in her eyes.
"It was me," she told him. "I was the one who let Garcia's horse loose."
Jackal only frowned, more confused than angry.
"I knew about the elf girls," Delia said, her breath fluttering. "They had been coming in, going with the sludge man, and never seen again. When I heard he was coming for the Cavalero and the horse, I released it, hoping it would cause trouble for Sancho. I don't know, I thought if the Castile started asking questions, all of it would end. I wasn't trying to hurt the bastards, Jack. You have to believe that."
Jackal shushed her and took a step forward. "I do." Delia searched his face frantically, as if doubting any absolution.
But it worked, in the end. The one you rescued. She's safe?
This lie came harder, as Jackal's throat constricted. Yes, she's safe.
Good,
Delia said, breathing out with relief.
Good.
Jackal put a gentle hand around the back of her neck. You need to go. She nodded and looked up at him.
Don't try to kiss me. I'm done with men that smell like piss.
Smiling, Jackal released her, and she slipped out the door. He stood for a moment, considering whether to wait and ambush the guards when they returned, weak-legged from fucking. It would provide a weapon and no small amount of satisfaction, but not time, and that was most important. His decision made, Jackal left the chamber, sodden and unarmed. The wizard was said to lodge in a tower, which meant Jackal needed to go up. Up toward the bailey, up toward the walls, up toward where all the men who were not sleeping were standing watch. Fuck, Jackal sighed as he crept along the passage. Eventually he came to the end of the vaulted corridor, finding an archway to the left and a small set of stairs leading up to an empty doorway. Sounds of Raecia entertaining his erstwhile guards echoed from beyond the arch. Jackal took the stairs. Old rushes crunched under his boots as he entered the chamber at the top, finding himself in an undercroft made up of several adjoined square rooms. A bottlery to his left was secured by iron bars, but Jackal was free to move through the rest of the storage chambers, his eyes darting around for anything useful as he skulked between the barrels and sacks. He managed to find an old mason's mallet and a forgotten spar hook. Forgoing the heavy mallet, Jackal took up the spar hook. The single-edged, curved blade was loose in the stubby handle, but it could still cut a throat, albeit with some sawing. Emboldened by the blade in his hand, Jackal moved through the undercroft until he found stairs spiraling upward. They brought him to a room he surmised to be at the base of one of the towers, as it was nearly identical to the one he had entered before being ushered down to the dungeons. Towers were what he wanted, but the Castile contained at least half a dozen. Searching every one would be too treacherous. Dawn would likely come before he could sneak up them all if he wasn't discovered first. He needed to know for certain where the wizard laired. But how? Not even Ignacio had ever betrayed that secret, despite all his dealings with the hoofs. The tallest. It had to be the tallest tower. Obvious, maybe. But Jackal could not imagine a powerful man dwelling in less. A humble wizard sounded as likely as a peaceful orc. Jackal cracked the door and peered out into the yard. Silver light pooled in the bailey, save where the shadows lay thickest beneath the walls. Fiery globs denoted torches along the battlements, some slowly moving, revealing the paths of sentries. The tallest tower was not immediately apparent. The central keep was largest, but the drum tower on the northeast corner of the fortress equaled it in height. The keep would be foolhardy. Bermudo was probably within, plowing the ass of some poor stable boy. And then Jackal knew where to go. He waited from the safety of the doorway, watching the pattern of the sentries for an opening. Before he felt comfortable venturing out, footsteps and a cough from the stairs above forced him to action. He slipped out into the yard, leaving the door slightly ajar lest the noise of it latching alert whomever was coming down the tower. He walked briskly across the yard, neither running nor creeping. Hopefully, from the wall, he would look like a man crossing the bailey with genuine purpose, unless the watcher's eyes were particularly keen and noticed a shirtless, long-haired half-orc. He made it to the barracks without challenge and ducked into the shadows, trying not to think about the scores of men sleeping just beyond the wall he now used to conceal himself. Keeping low, he hurried beneath the windows, skirting the long side of the building until he reached the corner. The stables lay not 50 steps away, across an alarmingly bright stretch of yard. hells, was every damned star in the sky favoring that one cursed swath of dust? He took his time watching the patrols on the battlements and, when he deemed it safe, made a run for it, hoping some sleepless soldier wasn't looking out from the barracks at that particular instant. Skidding under the eaves of the stables, he stopped and listened. No cries were raised, no pounding of pursuing boots, just the occasional snort of a horse from the dozens of stalls beyond the chest-high stone enclosure. Columns supported the roof, allowing the wind to thread through the stables, relieving and carrying the strong odors of the steeds. Jackal remained outside, slinking along the wall until he found the wooden double gate. A wicket was set within it, allowing men to come and go without the need to swing the gates open. Fortunately, it was unbarred. Jackal breathed easier once he was enveloped by the pungent darkness. Except it wasn't completely dark. A flicker of light outlined the closed door of the tack room to the right. The Castile employed more than a dozen stable boys, and Jackal could hear their soft snores in the hayloft above. One, however, was clearly working in the tack room, as none would have been foolish enough to leave a lit lamp unattended. As Jackal eased the door open, he hoped he was right about which individual was up so late. The boy sat on the floor, barefoot, intent on repairing a bridle. He did not look up as Jackal entered the room, his head cocked far to the side as he squinted at his work. Like all the stable boys, his hair was shaved close to the scalp to deter lice, but a white crescent of bald skin outlined a deep depression above his right ear. His mouth hung open slightly, his tongue making regular appearances, coinciding with the erratic tics of his face. About 7 years ago, Miro had been born to one of Sancho's whores. She died of some affliction passed to her by the cock of a Guabic merchant before the boy was weaned. 4 years later, it was the mule of another merchant that kicked Miro while he was playing in the brothel yard. The lad had never been the same. Ignacio took him off Sancho's hands and brought him to live at the Castile. Jackal had only seen him twice since, once when the hoof helped escort a caravan of goods to the Castile, and again when Delia brought him back to the brothel to nurse him through an illness that the garrison's horsemaster kept ignoring. The boy looked up slowly, as Jackal squatted down across from him. His eyes were slightly unaligned and blinked hard. "I am to finish," Miro said, the words slow and dully pitched. He immediately turned his attention back to the bridle. He fussed dutifully at the leather, trying to braid the brow band. It was a task that required nimble fingers, the work of an hour for someone of skill. This poor boy had neither, but had spent hell's knew how long struggling until he was now half a finger's length from finished. "Finished this?" Jackal asked, pointing to the bridle. Miro gave a glacial nod.
"Master told's I am to finish before sleep."
Jackal breathed out hard through his nostrils and looked over his shoulder at the tack room door. Perhaps he needed to go find where Master sleeps. "Can I help you with it?" Jackal asked, turning back to the boy. Miro held the bridle out.
"Yes, thank you, please."
"Miro," Jackal said gently, as he began threading the thongs, "do you remember me?"
"No."
"I'm Oates's friend." Miro's slack jaw stretched up into a gleeful smile.
"Bears and mountains!"
Jackal sniggered. "That's right, bears and mountains." Oates had spent more time at the brothel during the boy's convalescence than in the previous years put together. When Miro was finally strong enough to get out of bed, the two had played together for days, and Oates had taught him every game he knew, then began inventing new ones. The big thrice was set on bringing the boy back to Winsome, but the claymaster refused, saying the orphanage was only for mongrel children who might one day serve the hoof, not simpleton frails. If ever Oates might have thrown his axe, it was that day. He didn't, but his commitment to Jackal's bid for the chief's seat became iron. Muro, can you answer a question for me? The boy, still smiling with the memory of riding on Oates's shoulders, nodded. Where does the wizard live? It took a moment for the words to sink in, but when they did, the smile melted away.
No.
Is that a scary question? Muro nodded, shrinking back a little. I am sorry, Jackal told him gently. I did not know. Do you think you can tell me anyway? It will be a secret between us.
No.
The boy was shaking his head now, growing agitated. Worried he would begin to scream, Jackal held up his hands in a calming gesture. Muro, it's fine. You don't have to tell me. I'm sorry. This eased the boy's distress, and he settled. Jackal said nothing more, quickly finishing the bridle. Handing it back, he gave Muro a wink. Go on now. Get some sleep. Muro stood and hung the bridle up with measured deliberateness. He passed Jackal without further acknowledgment and left the tack room, tarrying only long enough to liberate a gelding knife from the racks. Jackal snuck from the room. This was folly. He would make for the sally port and escape, perhaps catch up with Delia and ensure she found a safe refuge. As he approached the stable gates, he noticed the wicket door was slightly open. Certain he had closed it earlier, Jackal proceeded cautiously, purloined knives in hand. Glancing through the opening, he found Muro standing just outside. Tucking his blades away, Jackal hissed to get his attention. He needed to coax the boy back inside before he drew attention, but Muro only turned his head, regarded him for an instant, then looked back out across the yard. Slowly, his hand came up, and he pointed. Stepping out to stand beside him, Jackal followed the direction of the stable boy's finger. The eastern tower. The smallest tower. Smiling, Jackal placed a grateful hand on Muro's head. Brave boy. Get to bed now. Muro returned to the stable, and Jackal began working his way to the tower. Chapter 26. There were no guards. No one was posted near the doors of the small tower, nor were any of the sentries patrolling the nearby battlements. This made Jackal uneasy. He did not want to be seen, but the lack of protection around the tower bespoke of an inhabitant who needed none. Jackal was about to slip into the chambers of the most dangerous frail in Ulwandulas. He wondered if he would be able to get a word out before serpents burst from his gut or his eyes turned into flesh-eating beetles. Move slow, talk fast, Jackal whispered to himself, and went inside. Stone steps snaked upward, unbroken by landings. Jackal took them up to the door of the garret. Breathing in, he did what he never dreamed might be his last living act. He knocked. There came the immediate sounds of movement from within. A clatter of unknown objects striking the floor was followed by a voice, the words indiscernible. The muttering beyond the door continued, but Jackal stood fast, expecting to die in agony as soon as the wizard finished what was likely an incantation. The words soon faded out. Jackal found he was still breathing. He could still hear movement, and then a low moan. Gripping the handle, Jackal slowly admitted himself into the room. All attempts at silence were immediately snuffed as the smell assaulted his nostrils, forcing him to gag and cough. Old food, excrement, and unwashed feet bedded down in the air, an orgy of foul odors. Burying his nose in the crook of his elbow, Jackal surveyed the garret. The furnishings were lost in warrens of damp parchment and swollen, moldy tomes.
Several rats played about the piles, slinking from stacks of scrolls to plates of ancient food, their droppings ornamenting everything. A gaunt figure wandered aimlessly amidst the reeking detritus, shuffling in chaotic patterns between the largest heap and the vermin-laden nest of linens that must have served him as a bed. Beyond, the only window not obscured by refuse was barely able to admit the moonlight, its leaded glass made murky with thick films of filth. The figure made an erratic turn, casting a crooked neck look in Jackal's direction. Removing his arm from his face, Jackal suffered the stench so he could speak. "I must speak with you." The figure made one last circuit before deciding to approach. It was an old man, clad in nothing but an open robe. Beneath, his body was wasted. Hard lines of rib roofed a ghastly potbelly. His old cods, more balls than shaft, swung pathetically between the arrow-thin legs that quivered as he drew near.
"Another 500 are required,"
the wretch proclaimed in a dusty voice. Jackal could not help taking a step back as the wizard came closer. His eyes were rheumy and wild. The thin wisp of beard clinging to his quivering chin was crusted with dried food.
"I gave you a command,"
the old man complained. A reedy arm crawled out from the crevasse of the filthy robe's voluminous sleeve and attempted to cuff Jackal. Reacting instinctually, he swatted the limb away. Still, the senile old fool kept coming, pawing and snatching with his skeletal hands, until he managed to grasp Jackal's wrist. He stretched his vulture's neck up, his mouth agape and stinking of a corpse's asshole.
"You are no slave," he creaked.
"No," Jackal told him. "I am not." The wizard's nostrils tightened, as if he were sniffing, and his eyes darted to and fro, crawling over Jackal's entire body.
"There is power in you,"
the man declared, and his mouth quavered into a nearly toothless smile of delight.
"You are he, the bastard."
The wizard produced a look of triumphant realization, but his madness quickly snatched it away. His confused frown returned, and he released Jackal, turning back into his miserable den. He ran a hand over his bald, flaking pate.
"Another 500, you ash-colored animal!"
the wizard cried, whirling unsteadily to thrust a finger at Jackal.
"Do it now, or you will be one of them!"
His patience fleeing along with his caution, Jackal took an aggressive step and seized the frail by his robe.
"I thought we agreed I was no slave," he growled.
The flicker of recognition returned as the wizard cowed.
"It's you!"
"It's me," Jackal reminded him roughly. "The bastard."
How this loon-brained skeleton knew him was a puzzle, but he supposed even demented wizards had ways. A wheezing laugh escaped from between the gray gums of the old man.
"Oh, but the queen will piss herself,"
the wizard gloated,
"that the debaucheries of her uncle would manifest to haunt her as your magnificent person is delicious. A mongrel and a bastard, yet yours remains the better claim. Oh, it is sweet."
The wizard's right shoulder was revolving strangely. Jackal looked down to find the madman stroking his desiccated cock. With a disgusted shove, he sent the creep sprawling back on his vile mattress. While the coot continued to fondle his limp flesh, rasping laughter, Jackal mulled over his ramblings. "Bastard," he had said, but had not meant one of the hoof. No, he meant a natural child, some royal frail's half-blood by-blow. Hells, the man's brain was porridge.
"I need to know about a wizard," Jackal snarled down at the creature beneath him. The old man ceased abusing himself, his laughter dying instantly. He rose,
his quick yet labored movements reminding Jackal of an insect with broken legs that refuses to die.
"I am he,"
the wizard groveled.
"Forgive me. I am Abzul, communer of the Circle of Uzuwaka, strangler of the White She-Demon."
"I noticed," Jackal said, trying to avoid the fawning hands. "But you are not who I meant, Coffin Dodger. I speak of a half-orc wizard, fresh to the lots."
"Half-orcs!"
Abzul spat.
"Yes, many and more are required. If the Highborn won't part with them for fair coin, take them, and kill one of the household. We will see what the noble families value more, their mongrel slaves, or their wives and children. In this, we have the king's own blessing."
This forgotten old conjurer was useless. He was swimming in the past again, spewing nonsense at phantoms. Small wonder he was kept secret. He was just another lie, as capable of defending the Castile as the hoofs were of protecting the lots. Jackal gave him room as he fretted and paced. Abzul suddenly shrieked at him.
"Why do you stand there? Get to it! Use the survivors and the fresh arrivals. There is not time for separate crucibles. 500 more are required. Fill the cages."
Jackal stiffened. Ignoring the raging old man, he looked around slowly at the rats scavenging about the chamber. Rats. Cages. "You," Jackal accused, taking a step toward Abzul. "You were one of them. You created the plague." Pride bubbled past the wizard's befuddlement.
"I did. An arduous working. Summoners, communers, vivimancers, alchemists, abjurers. All wisdoms were required. Oh, if we had but been allowed to complete."
Abzul trailed off, his tongue running rapidly over his lower lip. Overcome with loathing, Jackal snarled and seized the sorcerer by the throat. "I think you've lived long enough, maggot." Abzul's eyes popped and ceased their rolling to stare at Jackal's wrathful face. Whimpering, the wizard's knees buckled, but Jackal held him upright by the neck.
"I am no threat to you,"
the wizard coughed out. Jackal squeezed down further. "No, you are not."
"Truly,"
Abzul begged through his stifled airway.
"There is none who could challenge you, my lord. Ultani."
Jackal's spine went rigid. "What did you call me?" He released Abzul, allowing him to drop. Cringing, the wizard held up a staying hand.
"Forgive me. I should not have used your name."
"No, say it. The name. Say it." The old man's hands clenched together as he raised his arms imploringly.
"I did not mean to offend."
"Fucking say it."
"Uhad Ulbadir Taruk Ultani."
Slowly, Jackal's hands came up and rested in his dirty hair. "Hell's overburdened," he hissed. He had come here to gather information about Crafty, not be mistaken for him by this addle-brained lecher.
"I will help you come into your kingdom, my lord,"
Abzul declared.
"I remain of use."
The old wizard was starting to get loud, and though Jackal suspected mad ravings from this tower were common, he did not need some servant investigating the noise. Someone was still feeding this buzzard, though dropping a plate and hurrying away seemed to be the practice. "Enough, Abzul," Jackal said, seeing his chance. "I will not harm you. You are of use. That is why I am here. I wish to know all that you do about me."
"Nothing, my lord,"
the old man baldly lied, shaking his head. "You needn't fear," Jackal cajoled. "I know who my allies are, Abzul. It is my enemies I seek."
"Treasonous dogs! That is what they will be, my lord, when you sit your throne, not I. I have waited here for you. I returned to Ulwundulas when the others would not, to await your arrival. From your birth I have waited."
"The throne of Hispartha," Jackal said lightly, carefully watching Abzul's reaction. "Do you think I can seize it?"
"It is yours to take, my lord. Your whore aunt and her pederast husband are pretenders to your grandfather's crown. I renounced their court in protest over your father's execution after he returned from exile, all the while making them believe I valorously returned to the lots to help keep watch on the filthy Sutski... on the half-breeds, who are graced to count you as one of them."
Jackal's jaw clenched. Abzul was a shit liar. He was trying to save his own skin from whatever danger he believed he faced. There wasn't enough courage left to hold allegiances to Hisparta or any other. The prisons of his decrepit body and unhinged mind laid claim to all his loyalty. Still, fear had him locked in some semblance of clarity. "Tell me of my father," Jackal urged. His corpulence aside, Crafty did not have the look of a frailing. If his father had been human, as Abzul was suggesting, that could only mean his mother was a thick, and that was unheard of. Female orcs were never seen outside of Dargest. It would take a strong man to couple with one. A strong, utterly insane man.
"You should not heed gossip, my lord," Abzul said. "Can a prince of the blood truly be accused as a raper and a murderer when it is of his own servants? I say not. And many, I amongst them, never believed he drowned the Marquesa of Sparthis, nor hunted her sons with dogs. His exile was an unjust ploy. Yet he found friends in the East, yes? Friends who provided him entertainments worthy of his proclivities. Friends to all of Hisparta, indeed, for they ensured we had a worthy claimant to the throne, a half-breed, a sorcerer trained by the Black Womb. Who better to help us raise all of Dargest and rid us of the orc threat?"
Abzul was now genuflecting with each lusty exclamation, ribbons of drool escaping from his toothless mouth. "What of the Hispartan wizards?" Jackal asked quickly, taking advantage of the old man's lucidity. "Are they a threat to me?"
"Not I, my lord,"
Abzul insisted passionately. Jackal could not help but sneer. This man was a threat to nothing but the nose. "And the others?"
"They would be fools to stand against you."
The way Abzul's yellowed eyes looked away when he made this claim revealed he was not only lying, but wanted Crafty to attempt the contest and fail. So, there were magic wielders in Hisparta with the strength to challenge the Tyr Kanyan. But Crafty was no fool. He would not go unprepared into the lands of his enemies. No, he came first to Ulwundulas, the long-contested underbelly, and gathered powerful allies. The fucking Claymaster! Was Crafty truly about to help the chief take his revenge? If they unleashed the plague in Hisparta, what then? Jackal found it difficult to care. Hisparta was nothing to him. Its people were distant, faceless, seen in his mind's eye as fat and ignorant to all danger. Perhaps it was time that ignorance was shattered. It would inevitably happen. The Imperium had fallen, and one day so would Hisparta, be it sacked by orcs or seized by a foreign half-breed with a claim to the crown. What did it matter to him? He was a free rider now, with no loyalties save to the hog that bore him where he wished to tread. There was nothing holding him here. Delia could be his. She would ride with him if he asked. He was certain of that. They could go to Anvil, or Guabia, or points east. Hisparta was not the world, and Jackal had only ever known the lots. The shit stuck to the boot heel of the kingdom. Fool ass that he was, he loved the Badlands. But like the northern frails in his imagination, he was ignorant of all else. He had wasted years trying to thwart the Claymaster.
Was he truly willing to throw his life away, trying to battle him and Crafty, all for a gaggle of lazy frails in the north? As his brooding began to wane, Jackal found his